I'm pulling out of the driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. Okay, last time I started, I'm doing a two-part podcast based on a series of articles I had called Looking Back. And what I did is I looked at the previous 30 years of Magic, and then for each year I named the best addition to Magic from a design standpoint, and then I have one or more runner-ups each year. I got through 2008 last time, so that means we begin with 2009. Okay, the randomized boosters of 2009 were Conflux, Alara Reborn, Magic 2010, and Zendikar. So the best addition to Magic was Landfall. So that was a mechanic introduced in Zendikar. It has shown up in every Zendikar set and has shown up elsewhere. It's shown up in a few other places, I think. Modern Horizon sets and such. So Landfall was a really interesting... So I had wanted to do a land mechanic-based set, or block, actually, what would become Zendikar. And we spent a lot of time sort of looking at various mechanics. What we ended up choosing was a mechanic that just rewarded you for playing land, which, by the way, is something you always do anyway. Like it was a really interesting eye-opener of that, hey, every mechanic doesn't have to be about tension. Every mechanic doesn't have to be, well, I have to make tough choices. That I could just reward you for doing things you wanted to do. And even that had a lot of strategy into it. Landfall is one of the real, what I call lenticular, meaning for the beginner, it does something, they understand it. And for the more advanced player, there's extra strategy. And the idea is for a beginner, look, every time I play land, I just get a reward. It's great. For the advanced player, oh, because I get a reward every time I play a land, later in the game, maybe I'm more judicious about when I play my land. But it really, it was an eye-opener. I mean, now it was a good mechanic, but it also changed a little bit how we thought about mechanics. And then the runner-up is the willingness to put new card designs in more places. So Magic 2010 came out. That was a core set. It was the first core set that said, you know, we could have new cards. Why can't we have new cards? And then we realized a lot of times when we were trying to make core sets that we struggled because we were only using reprints. And we're like, look, we have the ability to make new cards. Hey, if core sets could use new cards, why not allow it? Why do core sets have to only be returning cards? And by adding in new cards, it really allowed us to design better things. And it, once again, another sort of eye-opener of sometimes you make rules and you just have to stand back and go, okay, well, is that rule important? Is it important that core sets are only repeating cards? You know, could we make new cards? The answer was yes. And it actually made for a better core set because it allowed us, a lot of times when you were making a core set, you had to sort of do with what you could find. And now it's like, well, if I can't find it, I can make it. Okay, next up, 2010. So the randomized boosters of 2010 were Worldwake, Rise of the Eldrazi, Magic 2011, and Scars of Mirrodin. So the best addition to Magic was Proliferate, so mechanic from Scars of Mirrodin. It came about because we were trying to create a sense of the Phyrexians and give them an identity, and we really liked the idea that the Phyrexians metaphorically were a disease. And Proliferate came out of that exactly. In fact, it started as a single card, and then it became a vertical cycle, and then eventually became a mechanic. And early on, when we made it, it only references -1/-1 counters and poison counters, because it was specifically like being a disease. And then we realized, you know what? It's just more fun if it's any counters. And it's one of those mechanics that every time we bring it back, if we put it in a different environment, like originally it appeared in Scars of Mirrodin, where there were -1/-1 counters. Then it appeared in War of the Spark, where the major thing was loyalty counters, because there was a Planeswalker theme. Then it appeared in Phyrexia All Be One, where there were oil counters. And, like, depending on what counters are the primary counters in the set, it really changes how the mechanic works. It works the same way, but it changes sort of how it impacts the set. And that's one of the cool things about it is, this is the one thing really opened up to the idea of making our mechanics sort of open-ended when we can. There's sometimes we can't for different reasons, but I think making Proliferate hit all tokens not only was good for Proliferate and made it a lot of fun, but it really made us think about how we did mechanics down the road. So Proliferate's my first pick. My second pick is large standalone sets. So that was the year of Rise of the Eldrazi. So it used to be when we started block structures, block planning, we would do large set in the fall, in the Western Hemisphere fall, or Northern Hemisphere fall, and then we do two small sets. And at some point, I mean, a lot of magic design is us doing something, doing it for a while, and then going, you know, is that right? Do we have to do that? And Rise of the Eldrazi was the first time we went large, small, large. Who said? And not only did we do large, small, large, but we restarted in the middle of the block, meaning you would get Zendikar, or not Zendikar, you get Zendikar, you get Worldwake, and you draft those together. But then when you got Rise of the Eldrazi, you drafted it by itself, and then it had new mechanics. And I think a lot, in some ways, Rise of the Eldrazi was the very early beginnings that got us to our modern process of just letting each set sort of stand by itself. Nowadays, you don't really draft sets together. Drafts get drafted. Like, we realize how much complications that drafting sets together did and how much problems it caused. And that, now, people can still draft things together for fun if they want, but we really found that building sets such that they're only drafted by themselves really allows us to make the most robust and cool drafting environments. Okay, next, we get to 2011. So the randomized boosters of 2011 were Mirrodin Besieged, New Phyrexia, Magic 2012, and Innistrad. So the best new addition to Magic from Innistrad was Double Face Cards. That was a paradigm breaker. Magic up until that point had a front face and had the back face. The back face was the back of the Magic card. We were trying to make werewolves work. We borrowed an idea from another game that Magic makes called Duel Masters. And we said, okay, what if cards could change? What if the backs didn't have to be a Magic back? And it was one of the more controversial things we did, not just inside the building, but outside the building. There are people, when we show them, that just were like, no, you can't do this. But the majority of players really enjoyed it. And even some of the naysayers over time, like, it's one of the things we introduced that has a huge amount of design space. There are a lot of different things. I mean, the ones we did in, Best Edition Magic, I put Transforming Double Face Cards. It's such a cool thing that we would do other things later, and I'll talk about that later. But the idea of I play something and it can become something else, it allowed us creatively to have two pictures. We could tell stories. It allowed cards to change in a way that it was normally tricky for Magic to do. Magic had transformational cards before, but this was just a louder, cleaner, cooler way to do it. The runner-up is a new take on top-down set design. We had done top-down design before. Arabian Nights, I would argue, was top-down design. Kamigawa Block, Champions of Kamigawa Block, was top-down design. But it really sort of, like, the Champions of Kamigawa Block's problem, looking back on it, was that we kind of did all the creative work first and then found mechanical answers for creative decisions. And it turns out that mechanics are not quite as flexible as, flavor can be. But Innistrad really took this attitude of, we're going to sort of craft what we're doing, and it just reshaped how we make top-down sets. And in a lot of ways, the modern sort of top-down design really owes a lot to Innistrad. It did a lot to sort of how we integrated with creative and how we thought about, like, the idea of, I mean, the core to top-down design is that the structure of the set only makes sense if you understand the creative involved. Meaning that a lot of bottom-up sets, yeah, there's flavor there, but there's a core mechanical connection. Ravnica might be about cities and guilds and all that, but it is still the 10 two-color pairs arranged in a certain way with a certain pattern with certain cycles running through them. It's very mechanical at its crux. Where Innistrad was like, look, how does Typal and Graveyard and how do these themes and death and transformation, how do these themes all work together? And the idea is, once you bring in the horror genre, it just, it starts making it all make sense in a way that, in a vacuum, it would make less sense. Okay. Next up, 2012. So the randomized booster releases of that year were Dark Ascension, Avacyn Restored, Magic 2013, and Return to Ravnica. The best addition to Magic, doing a proper revisit. So we had, I mean, we definitely had gone back to play. Scars of Mirrodin was us returning. But the idea here, Scars of Mirrodin was us really rewriting things. It's becoming Phyrexia. It was very much a different thing than what the original had been. Return to Ravnica is the first time we went back. We said, okay, we're not changing things up. We're just going back and we're doing a return as it was. Remember Ravnica? We're going back to Ravnica. Remember the core, the essence of Ravnica? That's what we're doing again. Yeah, the guilds will have new mechanics. I mean, it will be a new set. But really sort of saying, we can, there is a way to return and revisit what was fun about something in a way that makes a dynamic set. And so that really was that. The runner-up for that year, I put down Gates. And by Gates, what I really mean was understanding the power that land set, that land subtypes, I'm tripping over my tongue today, land subtypes can add to Limited. One of the things, for example, we had learned from doing multicolor blocks, we did Invasion, and after Invasion, the takeaway was, oh, we could have done more color fixing. So then we did Ravnica, and the takeaway from that was, well, we did more, but we could still do more. And then we did Shards of Alara, and the answer was, okay, we did more, but you know what? Probably we could do a little bit more. And so when we got to Return to Ravnica, the answer really was, look, we want to do some simple things, but how do we make the simple things at common not feel way worse than the more complex things at rare? And the answer was that a land subtype allowed to give us a little bit of substance to the land. Like, land designs are tricky. There's not as much space in land designs as there is in other card types. They have to reduce mana, and there's just a lot of... So, dual lands particularly, it's very limited what you can do. And so, the idea of Gates really sort of said, hey, we can put a little bit something on them, and that's enough. We just need to make a few cards that mechanically care, so it's something in draft you can think about, maybe constructed, maybe you can build around more for fun. I don't know how much competitive gate decks there were, but there were people that did it at F&M and stuff. Okay, next up, 2013. Randomized booster releases of that year, Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze, Magic 2014, Modern Masters, and Theros. The best addition to Magic was Devotion from Theros. I think that, so, Devotion, the big lesson of Devotion was, we had made a mechanic, it was called Chroma in Eventide. We really had high hopes for it. We really thought it was a cool mechanic. And it sort of landed with a thud. Like, it just, the audience was like, eh. And we were making Theros, and we said, you know what? The perfect tool right now would be Chroma. But, okay, why didn't the audience like Chroma? Could we redo Chroma? And so we really, the problem with Chroma was, it was a little bit too open-ended. It was neutral on flavor. And we said, okay, let's bring it back. Let's use the flavor we wanted for the set. We wanted to show Devotion to the Gods. And so we added some flavor. We limited just cards on the battle, permanents on the battlefield. And just giving it a little more definition, a little more shape, and a little more flavor went from a mechanic to a really, really popular mechanic. One that meant a lot in Limited, showed up in Constructed. But it really sort of taught us that bad execution can ruin a good idea. That just because the audience doesn't like something doesn't necessarily mean the idea was bad. It might be our execution was bad. And that was an important lesson. The backup was Monstrosity, another mechanic from Theros. The idea of one-time changes. We had done transformational things before, but the idea that, especially sort of an activated one-time change, the idea that we had done activations you only do once per turn, that we had done, but essentially this was saying, well, how about once per game? And that was something new. It also played around a little bit with the idea of having things gain a state. That was something we played around with other mechanics. But Monstrosity is, I mean, obviously we did a revamped version of called Adapt, and but it's an area we keep coming back to. There's definitely double-faced car designs that are very much playing in this space. The Frexianization in March of the Machine, for example, plays in Monstrosity space. So anyway, a very valuable tool. Next up, 2014. The randomized booster releases of that year were Born of the Gods, Journey to Nyx, Conspiracy Take the Crown, Magic 2015, and Concept Tarkir. The best addition to Magic is the Concept Tarkir set structure. We spent a lot of time, I did on the vision design, or sorry, on design, I guess, and Eric Lauer did on development. More of this is on Eric Lauer than me. Spent a lot of time sort of adjusting and figuring out how do you make three-color work. Three-color design sets are really, really hard. How do I get you to play three-color but not play four-color and five-color? You know, how do we do it in such a way that it encourages you and enables you to play three-color without playing four and five? That's a big, big challenge. And Eric really found a cool way, realized that the backup things are two-color, really understood that get people to draft, at least in a wedge set, draft enemy, and then you have two options of which wedge you're going to do. So that's the best addition. The runner-up was another Eric Lauer design thing, the Morph 5-mana rule. So Morph had first shown up in Onslaught, and I last time talked about how Morph was one of my picks. Morph's a great mechanic. But one of the challenges of Morph was that, like, for example, in Onslaught, there were two different red commons, one of which was really bad if you blocked, and one was really bad if you didn't block it, and they basically had the same curve. So you as the player playing against a red, a player playing red with Morph had no idea what to do. So Eric's idea was, well, what if we build in a rule, and the Morph 5-mana rule is, until we get to 5-mana, if you block my creature with your creature, and I turn it face up, I will not, what's called, eat your creature, which means I will not have my creature survive and your creature die. They might trade, might both die. They might bounce, neither die. My creature might die and your creature live. But we're not going to have a situation where my creature lives and your creature dies. So, and knowing that as you get more into advanced strategy allows you to play Morph in a much cleaner way. And the reason that was important was not just the rule itself. I mean, we brought Morph back and disguise and stuff, and we still use that rule. But it, the idea that we can sort of make rules for ourselves of one of the ways to balance it is make a rule and then advertise the rule, make sure the public knows the rule. But that is a way to sort of balance stuff, is build in security and structure into the mechanic such that it acts in a certain way. There's a second runner-up mechanic in 2014 that was the Monarch from Conspiracy Take the Crown. The idea of the Monarch is somebody becomes the Monarch, they get a card, I'm not sure it's a token, it's like more like an emblem. But you get the Monarch, and there's only one Monarch. So the way the Monarch works is if you control the Monarch, you get to draw cards. But if someone deals damage to you, then they get to become the Monarch. And so you're fighting over this resource. It was based on a mechanic called the Edge that Richard Garfield had put in another trading card game he made called Vampire the Eternal Struggle. It is probably the most successful of the multicolor mechanics. We've used it many times. It just makes fun dynamics. It makes people want to attack. Like, one of the problems in multiplayer games is there's a lot of politics in who to attack, and making mechanics that just sort of say, attack this person. And then all of a sudden, it's not a political thing. It's not like I've chosen to attack you as much as well. Look, there's a huge incentive to attack you. Okay, 2015. Randomized booster releases of that year were Fate Reforged, Dragons of Tarkir, Modern Horizons 2015, Magic Origins, and Battle for Zendikar. The best addition to Magic is Manifest, which was in Fate Reforged. We were doing sort of proto-morph, and the idea is you could take cards from any zone, usually off the top of the library, and then they become 2/2 colorless creatures that, if they are creatures, much like Morph, you can turn them face up. It really showed how you could take something that was already a core good mechanic and really tweak it and advance on it. And it really was something that said, hey, Morph is really cool and fun, but there's more we can do with it. And in fact, when we retweaked Morph in Disguise, we retweaked Manifest into Cloak. Okay, The runner-up, Exploit, that was from Drags of Tarkir. Exploit was really interesting. It's a mechanic where when you play the creature, it has the ability to sacrifice another creature to generate an effect. And on the surface, you would think Exploit would be a mechanic that players don't like. In general, players don't like sacrificing things. They don't like what they consider to be downside mechanics. But actually, it had good flavor, and it played really well. And it definitely taught us the lesson of, it's very easy to make general rules for yourself in design, but be careful not to let those general rules guide you too much. Yes, players don't necessarily like downside mechanics, but when flavored well and play well, we can do some of them. We have to be careful when and why, and it's actually really important they're super flavorful, but that's something we can do. Okay, next up, 2016. Randomized Boosh releases of the year. Oath of the Gatewatch, Shadows Over Innistrad, Eternal Masters, Eldritch Moon, and Kaladesh. Okay, the best addition to Magic was Artifact Tokens as a Game Resource. That's Shadows Over Innistrad. Introduced Clues. We had done creature tokens. I mean, Alpha had the first creature token. And we had done creature tokens as a theme, probably Onslaught. Well, I mean, Fallen Empires, maybe Onslaught. Depends where you want to. Fallen Empires are the first people to do it as a larger theme. And then Onslaught's the first one to do it sort of as a meta block theme. But anyway, Shadow of Innistrad tried the same idea, but with artifact tokens. We had made one of artifact tokens before, but the idea of, hey, a lot of cards make the same artifact token. We had made Clue because we were trying to figure out how to do draw a card that was less than a full card. And the idea of making a token that you have to still put mana in to get the card was sort of the half a card answer we liked. Anyway, it inspired us. We did Clues there. We did Treasure in Ixalan. We did Food in the Throat of Eldraine. We did Blood in Crimson Vow. Like, it really said this is a valuable tool that in the right place can be used. We did Cocoon and March of the Machine. We've done a bunch of them, and they can be very valuable. Power Stones and the Brothers War. Next up, Energy. So Energy showed up in Kaladesh. It was originally made for original Mirrodin block. It got forced out. I made too much stuff. Energy is a very cool mechanic. The audience was pretty fond of it. We didn't balance it correctly, so we had to ban a bunch of cards. But it is a fun mechanic. It's a cool resource. And it's something that allows us to do some neat things. And Energy recently came back. It was in Modern Horizons 3. It was in Fallout. I do like Energy. I do think it's a fun mechanic. And I do think it kind of shows how, if you're careful, and you want to be careful when and how you do this, but extra resources can be very interesting if you're very careful. One of the things we learned about Energy is that it requires a certain amount to get to, like, it's hard to play Energy in Commander without having enough Energy cards. One of the reasons we just did more Energy this year. But once you dedicate to a resource and you generate enough cards, like, things that are parasitic become less parasitic as you make more of them. Next up, also in Kaladesh, Vehicles. We had kind of talked about doing Vehicles for a long time. We had a few cards that sort of were pseudo-vehicles. We realized that Kaladesh was the place to do it. We figured it out. It took a while to figure out, but we ended up making something that instantly became, I'm not sure whether they call it evergreen or deciduous, but it's something we do a lot. We found creature power as a resource to be a really interesting resource. That's definitely a well we've gone back to. Anyway, it's just something we invented that is super flavorful that just played great. Next up, Meld. Oh, sorry, one more runner-up was Meld. This is from Eldritch Moon. The idea, we had tried for a long time. So BFM was a card that was in Unglued, where you had two halves of a card that came together. It was really fun. It was the number rated two cards from Unglued. We had tried for a long time to figure out how to sort of replicate that in non-un magic. And finally, the answer was double face technology. Like I said, double face is very powerful. You could get two things, and then they could flip up, and both could turn to their backside and then join together in a larger card. It is really, there's things we do in magic that just have a strong visceral feel. That just the first time you see it, like, wow. And Meld really has that quality. We did it again in the Brothers War, and, like, we don't do it a lot. It is hard to do. There's lots of challenges to it. But when we do it, it stands out, and it really is a splashy thing. Next up, 2017. The randomized booster products of that releases of that year were A, The Revolt, Omnicat, Hour of Devastation, Ixalan, Iconic Masters, and Unstable. So the best edition from Omnicat was Punch-Out Cards. Now, once again, I'm talking from a design standpoint. It is a very interesting resource. It allows us to do some designs that's hard to do without it. A lot of times when we do counters, there's a lot of memory issues, and that if we make too much memory issues, because remember, normally with counters, a lot of times you're using coins or dice, and if there's more than one, it can get complicated what's what. And so one of the things we learned was that a punch out is something that it's the size of a card, and it allows us to make a number of counters, essentially, on a single card. That tokens you get maybe, I mean, you don't even get a token in every pack, so tokens don't do quite as good job at fulfilling the role of counters. So anyway, punch out has been something, we not only do we use it in things, we also nowadays in pre-release packs, part of the box and pre-releases have punch out components. So it really was, from a design standpoint, a very interesting resource and something we definitely make use of. The runner-up was Treasure Tokens. So Ixalan was the second set after Shadows of Innistrad and Clue Tokens to make use of non-creature artifact tokens. In some ways, you could argue that Treasure was the most successful token. All the tokens are deciduous. We can use them when we want. But Treasure is the one that we use the most often. Mana is a core part of the game. Treasure is a great flavor. And anyway, it's become one of the more staple of our non-creature, in fact, probably the most staple of our non-creature tokens. Okay, next up is 2018. Randomized boosters of that year were Rivals of Ixalan, Masters 25, Dominaria, Corset 2019, Guilds of Ravnica, and Ultimate Masters. So this was a tough one. The best addition to Magic I decided for this year was Sagas. So Sagas came from Dominaria. We were returning to Dominaria, a plane the where Magic began. The first 10 years of Magic, most sets took place in Dominaria. But we hadn't been back there in like 13 years. And so we really were trying to give Dominaria a definition, which is tough when so many different things took place there. We decided we wanted to go with the idea of history. And part of history is storytelling. So Sagas was, we took a mechanic that had been an early version of Planeswalkers, where every turn something happens. It made Planeswalkers not have enough agency, because they did dumb things, but it made a lot of sense for stories, because the story has a beginning, middle, and end. We introduced Sagas and Dominaria, we gave them a fun frame treatment. It's sort of, there's vertical art, that and it's done in the art style of the world. Anyway, it was super popular. It became deciduous almost overnight. Not overnight. It took a year or two. But it became deciduous pretty fast. And nowadays, it's just a tool that every set has access to. It's not quite evergreen. We don't use it every set. But it's one of the things closer to evergreen. It's super popular. Super flavorful. And it actually plays quite fun. There's some fun design space in it. The runner-up was Batching. We needed to make history a theme. We wanted to take... we couldn't use the graveyard because of other stuff around it, which is another place to go for the past. But we took the idea of artifacts, you know, objects of the past, legendary things, which were remnants of, you know, of the past, and sagas, which were stories of the past, and we put them together in historic. And it almost didn't stay. People weren't reading it. They're like, I don't get why these things are together. And the solution to it was, if we take these things, we give them a flavorful word, the rules text just uses the flavorful word, and then reminder text, we explain what that means, proved very successful. And since then, we've done Modified and Outlaw and Party, I guess you could argue is Batching. We've used it in a bunch of different places. It's a really valuable tool. We will continue to use it. It definitely helps with trying to make backward compatibility. Like, Outlaw is really nice in that Commander, right out of the gate, can make an Outlaw deck because there are years of cards that are Outlaws. If we had made a brand new creature type Outlaw, there just wouldn't be enough cards for some of the larger formats. Okay, next up, 2019. The randomized booster releases of the year were Ravnica Allegiance, War of the Spark, Modern Horizons, Corset 2020, and Throne of Eldraine. So the best addition to Magic comes from Throne of Eldraine was Adventures. It was a really cool idea. The idea of having two spells on one card. We had done them with split cards way back in Invasion. I didn't have split cards. Looking back, maybe split cards. Oh, I didn't talk about split cards. When we did 6th edition, I didn't talk about 6th edition rules. There are a few things that were really important elements of Magic that in my article I did a pretty good job, but I missed a few things. Anyway, adventures were great in that you could cast a spell and then later cast the permanent the spell was on in Eldraine and they're all creatures, but we've since done other things. It was very flavorful, very popular, had a fun frame treatment, and people really liked it. The runner-up, this is War of the Spark, was backdrop sets. The idea that I can go to a world, and that world, the mechanics of the world are not the core of what that world's about. We went back to Ravnica, after being in Ravnica, but we went back to Ravnica for War of the Spark. There's a giant story, a giant war between Nicol Bolas and all the Phyrexians, Nicol Bolas and all the Planeswalkers, and then the Eternals were the zombie army of Nicol Bolas. It was cool in the fact that we could be on Ravnica, and it was important that it was Ravnica, and elements of Ravnica peeked through, but it wasn't a Ravnican set in the sense that it wasn't a guild set. It wasn't what you normally did on Ravnica. And backdrop sets, we have to be careful. We went back to Ravnica and Murders on Carlisle Manor, and maybe that wasn't the best execution of a backdrop set, but I do think it's a valuable tool and something we need to use. The other runner-up was food tokens that was created in Throne of Eldraine. I think food tokens after treasure have been the second most popular non-creature artifacts. There's a lot of flavor on food. Gaining life is generally useful, so they've been very useful. Okay, 2020, Randomized Bush Wizards of the Year. Theros Beyond Death, Ikoria, Lair of the Behemoth, Corset 2021, Jumpstart, Double Masters, Zendikar Rising, Kaladesh Remastered. Okay, so the best addition to Magic was Muddle Double Face cards. So I talked about transforming Double Face cards in Innistrad. We tried something new in Zendikar Rising. What if you had a card that was like a split card, except instead of all being on one card, they were on two sides of the card, and that allowed us to do permanents. Split cards can only be instants and sorceries. Once again, it was very valuable. We learned some important lessons. You want the backside to be simple. Lands worked very well. We can do simple creatures and simple effects. Both sides being very complicated and not related proved to be a problem, as we learned on the Deans, when we get to Strixhaven. The runner-up to 2020 was fast deck building. Jumpstart came out. The idea that one of the big struggles for new players is building decks. What if we majorly eliminated that? And the idea of Jumpstart is you just take two different Jumpstarts and smash them together. And that it really said, like, one of the big lessons is, hey, you know, we can do deck building in a way that's a lot simpler. And the idea of what's fun for Jumpstart, if you buy Jumpstart, you can mix and match any two sets to make a deck. And you can then pull them apart and mix other two decks together. The runner-up... Now we get in 2021. The randomized booster releases of that year were Call Time, Time Spiral Remastered, Strixhaven School of Mages, Modern Horizons 2, Dungeons & Dragons Adventures of the Forgotten Realm, Innistrad, Midnight Hut, and Innistrad Crimson Vow. The best addition of Magic were cards external to the deck. What is that from? I'm trying to look at what we... the idea that... that's talking about Strixhaven and Lesson Learned. The idea that you can have cards that don't start in your deck that can be pulled into your deck. It's a mechanic we had messed around with. We almost did it in Kaladesh, with we called Inventions at the time. But the idea that you have cards that then you then can go pick what you get, and there were certain lessons, and you could play lessons in your deck normally, but you could then go fetch them. And it really was something sort of cool, the idea that not everything has to start in your deck, and definitely inspired us to do other things. The runner-up, it was the year of external things. External game pieces. That is Dungeons from Adventures of the Forgotten Realm. The idea that you could have game pieces where, hey, part of the fun of here is there's a little thing going on, but it's complex enough that we can't explain it all the card, but we can say, go get this external game piece, and that game piece can explain what's going on. And we have to be careful. We can't overdo it, but there is just a lot of design space in external game pieces. Okay, 2022, randomized booster release of that year, Kamigawa Neon Dynasty, Streets of New Capenna, Battle for Baldur's Gate, Double Masters 2022, Dominaria United, Unfinity, The Brothers War, Jumpstart 2022. Best addition to Magic, Nostalgic Revisits. Kamigawa Neon Dynasty was the big success of the year, and people have been asking my blog forever to go back to Kamigawa. The challenge I said was we had done original Kamigawa. It did horribly. It sold horribly. It did horrible in market research. There really was nothing redeeming about it from any of the metrics that we look at. But people had fond memories of it. And the Commander format, for example, made people look at a lot of a legendary because it had a strong legendary theme. Anyway, essentially what happened was we decided to do a new Japanese world based on Japanese pop culture, and then we're able to incorporate old Kamigawa into that, so there's a modernity versus tradition theme, but half of that was kind of old Kamigawa. Anyway, a main hit, and it really sort of made us rethink. Once again, there's things that you do and rules you set up for yourselves and saying, oh, well, maybe if we have a good, like, yes, we made mistakes in the past. If we have a way to address those mistakes, if we have a really good idea, we shouldn't. The lesson was not just do old things to do old things. It was do them smartly. But if you can do them smartly, there's a lot of rewards in revisiting things that people have fond memories of. And then the runner-up was Prototype from the Brothers War. The idea that I have a card that has two states, and you can choose what state to play it in. Players really love multiple versions of their cards. It's why double-faced cards are popular. It's why a lot of different things we've done over the years have been popular. Prototype was a different way to do it. And very super flavorful, and it's something that has inspired how we think about that. The final year, 2023, the randomized booster releases of that year were Dominaria Remastered, Phyrexia All Will Be One, March of the Machine, March of the Machine The Aftermath, The Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-Earth, Commander Masters, Wilds of Eldraine, and The Lost Caverns of Ixalan. The best addition to Magic, Universes Beyond, a very controversial topic. When we first started doing it in Secret Lairs, it was very controversial. But Lord of the Rings kind of made a pretty loud statement that when done well, when done flavorfully, when done with something that players are very excited about, it's the best-selling Magic set of all time. Beating up Modern Masters 2. Something that we learned is there's something really exciting about taking the mechanics of Magic and applying it to other flavors, to other properties that has proven to be a winning recipe. Warhammer 40,000 was the best-selling Commander decks of all time. Now Fallout is the best-selling Commander decks of all time. Lord of the Rings is best-selling randomized booster set of all time. So that there's something. Now, the lesson is we have to do it well. We need to be flavorful. We need to be respectful of the property we're adapting. But when done well, it is, and it's proved to be a really valuable tool to get people into Magic. That a lot of people who said, I'm not sure, will try it out because the property they love is now there. And then once they play, they see how fun a game Magic is, and they try other things. The backup. The runner-up for March of the Machine was Battles. It is not often we make a brand new card type, but we did. And we did Dave Humphrey's set design team. We had started down the path in Vision, but really Battles were made by the set design team. They were really interesting. They're very cool. They were popular. We are doing things with Battles in the future. It is something we do plan for you to see again. We were a little cautious with it. We were waiting for it to come back. I'm sorry, we were waiting for it to see how it got responded by players before we really started integrating it, but we saw it was popular, so we are looking at ways to use them. Like I said, it's not easy to add a new card type or do something that other card types just don't do, and Battles worked really well. Anyway, guys, this was a slightly longer run, but being that I'd done the first half in the part one, I realized I needed to do the second part all in this one. So thanks for sticking with me. But anyway, it's always fun to look back, and I hope you had fun, but I'm at work, so we all know what that means. This is the end of my drive to work. Instead of talking Magic, it's time for me to be making Magic. I'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.